Hello and welcome to Techsplaining. We are here with a full crew plus a very special guest, Jason Himmelstein. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing awesome, sir. Thanks for inviting me.
You're very welcome. I guess it makes a change to be on a different show, right?
Yeah, you know, we recorded our show yesterday, so it's good to be here with you guys.
I've got to say that is a fantastic looking mic you've got sticking there down in the screen. What kind of mic you got here?
That is my Yeti Blue.
All right.
Yeah, we invested about a year ago. John and I decided we wanted a little bit better sound quality than what we had, and it makes it so when I'm actually home, you can tell that it's sounding better. But yeah, this is normally it sits up a little bit higher unless we're doing a show like this, and I pull it down so I don't have to yell quite as loud. Because when I'm talking to people at work, I do a lot of yelling, unfortunately, I think. And true so story. It's better when it's away. So, yeah, Mark's been on a couple of those calls.
Now, who's this John weirdo you're talking about here? And what about your recordings you do with him?
That would be my partner from the Great White North. That'd be John White. Speaking of Great White North, he is that man, John White. He and I do a little show called Bifocal, Clarifying Business Intelligence. It's all about Power BI and all the Microsoft BI things. And we've been doing it for, we recorded episode 116 this week. That should drop here while we're talking is my guess, actually. We record every week and we've been doing it for about just over 2 years. Originally, we were on a platform called IT Unity, and we did a video podcast that nobody wanted to see who we were. Our voices are good enough. My mother always tells me that I have a face for radio. So, you know, it's a thing.
True story.
That's going to be Mark's interjection for the entire show.
That podcast is just going to be a true story.
Yeah. So, Jason, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You talked a little bit about your podcast and about John, but who are you and what do you do?
I am Jason Himmelstein. I am a Texan, reinstalled Texan. I moved away for a bit, but I'm back now. I work at a company called Rackspace, and I'm a technical strategy director there. I do all sorts of business transformation-y things. I have been in the Microsoft space for going on 20 plus years. I'm not going to say the exact number, doing everything from Exchange to SharePoint and Windows Server, going way back. I do some SQL-y stuff and been doing business intelligence in SharePoint now since 07. Wrote a book with a fellow MVP, Dave Feldman, a number of years ago of developing business intelligence apps for SharePoint. Don't buy our book.
I have that book. I just found it in my office. I was cleaning out this past weekend and I was like, oh, this is a book by Jason Himmelstein. Look at that.
It does a great job of propping up table legs, or if you just want a good cry, well, that's what I do, because we had to rewrite it 3 times because they kept changing the Power Pivot platform back then. But it is what Power BI is based on now. So it was a great experience learning all of those things in order to write that book. But what I do today is I spend my time traveling around, visiting our customers and prospects, going out and just talking with people, understanding their business problems and trying to translate that into technical solutions. And then all the fun things I get to do in the community. I'm an Office Apps and Services MVP, as well as a Data Platform MVP. Got dual awarded this year, which is pretty cool. Thank you very much. And I spend quite a bit of time over in the UK and in Europe speaking at conferences over there. But I also go to our office in the UK quite a bit. We do a lot of business over there too. So, and outside of all of that, I'm a rabid Longhorns fan, which we were just talking about schools just a few minutes ago. And I worked at UT for 5 years, hence the SharePoint Longhorn moniker that used to be kicking around. And I'm the proud dad of two. And one is an aspiring trumpeter, which, yes, I...
not to be confused with Trumpster.
No. Trumpeter, he's trying really hard, Rob, really hard. It still sounds like a dying duck a lot of days in our house.
He's been playing for what, just a few months though, right?
No, it's been like 2.5 weeks now.
That'll change.
It's the very beginning, man. It's the very beginning. So
that will change. And it's almost like, it's kind of like watching your kids grow up as they, when they're babies and they start to walk and stuff, it'll change by on a daily basis sometimes, mm-hmm. And then they'll get the scales, then they'll start getting the tone and then the rhythms and all. I mean, it's just, it's amazing to watch. I wish I could go back to that exactly where you are now, but you should get your horn out and play with him. I mean,
I've threatened that occasionally. I was a trombone player, played all the brass instruments. I was a trombone player. He's like, every once in a while, he's like, so Dad, what would this be like on a trombone? I said, bigger.
Spoken like a true American.
Texan.
Or Texan. Texan.
Here, come on.
That's great stuff. Well, so Power BI. Let's talk about that. Why is that your passion? I mean, you seem to be, you speak about it all the time. You've got this amazing podcast that you and John do. What about that turns you on?
I lived my life day to day back before I got into business intelligence, living in spreadsheets. And the spreadsheets, spreadsheet upon spreadsheet, you get emailed them all around. They're just, it's a nightmare. It's a rat's nest of data. Like, there's so much data, but you never know which one's the authoritative source of truth. And that was what was so attractive to me about Power Pivot back when we started doing SharePoint stuff with it, was because we could make something an authoritative source of truth, but it was kind of difficult to actually utilize. You know, we were dealing with star schemas. You had to build all this funky stuff. And now moving more towards the end user saying, hey, I can show you how to be really productive with your data that's coming out of Excel, just to start with, in give me 15 minutes. Let's see what kind of insights we can pull out of your data. That's the thing that really gets me, is, you know, being able to show people that, and then watching what we call that grow up story of, it just starts with one person playing with some data and figuring something out. And then the person walks by their desk and sees, wow, you're figuring that this is really neat. And then they start to share it with other people. And all of a sudden the entire enterprise is using it. And like, you're starting to see insights in how to properly do business based upon data that's been siloed for so long. And you had different people looking at it in different ways. But when you have an authoritative source of truth, and that becomes that promoted source of data, it really can change how business is done. And so for me, being able to help a person, man, that's really exciting. But then when you come back 3 months later, and you see what that person has turned that into, that's what's really exciting about Power BI for me, because the organic growth, unlike a lot of the other things, it's not, you know, when you look at Teams has some rapid adoption at Microsoft these days, but people will pick it up and they'll play with it and they go, okay, that's really neat. And then maybe they'll drift away and they get brought back to it because of different adoption driving reasons. And then you look at SharePoint, you know, we put a lot of stuff into it. We build intranets, we try and drive people there, and it takes work to get people to adopt. You have to think about the right taxonomies and everything. But when it comes to data, and doing your job day to day, how do I drive my own work? It's when people start to use Power BI, they see how easy it is to get started and start playing with it. And Rob, you had made a comment, like, just that point of, you know, that excitement around it, where it's like, wow, I can do all of this stuff with such little bits of information. All of a sudden I can drill insights into it. That for me is what turns me on about it. My favorite example is, I grabbed a data set when we bought a company. We bought three companies in the course of about 6 months, about a year and a half ago. And I got one of the sets of data. I was going to visit Boston. And I said, I need to go see what of our customers up there from this company I can go visit. And they handed me a 973,000 row Excel sheet. And I looked at it and I went, I can't even fathom what I would do with this, as trying to figure out who I'm going to go visit. I threw it in Power BI. 12 minutes later, I knew exactly who I was going to go visit. I was able to drill down into the data, categorized everything, because it had all the right information in the data. But just the idea of 900,000 rows, trying to sort through that, even doing find or going through columns, was impossible. I couldn't even start on it. But putting it in Power BI in 12 minutes, I was able to get to that information, figure out who I needed to go visit. It was really, really quick and simple.
So I have a question on the consistency of that data sometimes when you visit some customers. So, you know, it's great getting those reports built and being able to analyze the data, but the whole sort of trash in, trash out scenario, do you come up against that a lot?
Every single day. It really depends upon the quality of your data. The thing about it is that people are proud of their data. Someone who's working in an Excel sheet, they want to show you their Excel sheet. They look at what I've got. Look at this. You know, they want the help. And what happens is that the people who are going to do something with the data, they're going to make sure that data is right. And getting it out of Excel is really the key, right? How do we say, it's great that you've got this in Excel. Now, how do we grow that up into from being a personal piece of IT to a departmental piece of IT? Let's take that Excel sheet and let's put that in a SharePoint team site, right? And let's everybody starts to collaborate on that piece of data. And it's the one piece, and it's that one Excel sheet that you're using. And then eventually you realize, wow, Excel's a crappy database. Maybe we shouldn't be using Excel. Maybe we should be using something else, whether it's a CRM system or a SQL database or whatever it is. What can we do? SharePoint list, doesn't matter. Let's put that into something that we can now make an authoritative source of truth. But it really does start from that one person with an Excel workbook that they're trying to grow up and be able to do something with. That's how I find that we do that. Now, when you start with the IT side of the business, you really, that's where garbage in, garbage out becomes a bigger problem than the personal Excel workbook side. Because if they've got a database, the historical side of it, man, it's just junk. How do we cleanse that? So we start with data cleansing first, normalize data, get things right, and then we can actually report on it. But the nice thing about Power BI is we'll start to see some of those anomalies, right? It's pretty obvious when spikes are, you know, are 90,000% off. Maybe there's bad data here. Let's go start to analyze that.
So I loved what you said, kind of through this, that it starts, it can start with one person or with the individual. And we actually see a lot of Power BI kind of sneaking into customers when there's actually a competitor in place. And that's what the data cube, and they're running all these fancy reports, and you've got an analytics group that are doing all these fancy things. But at the same time, you may also have a need for Power BI because those individuals can interact with it and be able to use it and understand it in a way that some of those other tools may be, either they're too expensive for the everyday user or they're too complex, where Power BI can really come in and be a powerful kind of a complement to what they're doing in other areas. So we're starting to see that in customers and then seeing it grow out from there and be able to scale and build. So I loved your example there because I think that's great. A great opportunity for organizations, especially when you feel like, oh, BI, it's too overwhelming, it's too big for us. You really can start small.
Yeah, one of the things that I find when talking to customers is they don't understand what is Power BI Desktop versus what is Power BI. And the Power BI Desktop is the install client side, right? That's how you build your reports for the most part. Some people start with the service, but it's a lot more limited. Power BI Desktop gives us all of the data connections. And the way that John and I, when we do our workshop, we like to talk about it is think about Power BI Desktop as Excel without the workbook side of it. It gives you all of the same data connection capability. In fact, if you've written anything over in the Power Pivot engine in Excel, you can copy paste that directly into the advanced editor and it runs the same way. So we're using the same language, and there's some grow up stuff there that you go from, being able to do VLOOKUPs and Excel language to going into DAX and things of that nature and the mQuery language and stuff like that from T-SQL. And so there's grow up that has to happen, but it really does. It is as simple as get started. You just have to imagine Power BI Desktop is Excel without the workbook side of things. And that's a great way to get started. With customers that I'm talking to, I absolutely see what you're talking about. It can start small because they look at it and they go, oh, there's a 60-day free trial. Let me try that out. And they'll try it. And Power BI Desktop's actually free. You can do everything without having to buy a license until you try and share it with another person, right? Power BI is free to use for personal, but once you try and share, that's where the expense comes in, that $10 per user per month or going into the premium SKUs like that. But The thing for me is that beginning portion, one of the nice things about it is that Power BI, unlike a lot of the other analytics tools, has opened up the back end. They have something called the XMLA endpoint that now, if you are using Tableau, let's say, or using, heaven forbid, you're using some of the really old legacy, type analytics platforms, and that's the corporate standard. But you've built something in Power BI, there is an ability to go and connect to the back end of Power BI using this XMLA endpoint from any of those tools. And now be able, even from Excel, you can go in and connect to the XMLA endpoint and just go in, access the data. because it's not modifiable. Okay. When we pull in data, it doesn't, you're not allowed to change that data. Okay. You know, it's just that we're doing that ETL function, that extract, transform, and load, not modify. There's no M in any of that. So
what's the coolest project you've been a part of? Like something that's made a significant impact. Can you talk at all, any, even generalize some examples of some pretty significant things that have happened?
Yeah, I can. So this one's kind of an old one, and I've told this story a number of times. The Twitter dashboard that you see at different conferences that John has now taken, and it's now branded as Tigraph. That originally started as when Microsoft Flow first got launched. There was a Twitter connector for it, and we were sitting on the call on the Friday when they told us about it 2 hours before they went, and you know, they told the MVP community 2 hours before they actually launched the product to the public. And John and I both looked at it and said, this could be really cool to go and do stuff in Power BI. And so I went off and took Flow and looked at Twitter and said, grab a hashtag or grab a couple of hashtags and stuff it all into SharePoint. And the next week was actually the future of SharePoint launch. John did the same thing. We didn't talk about it. He put it into SQL in Azure. And so we actually came together on Sunday and went, hey, look at this thing we did. And we each had this pretty much the same thing built. And then we pulled in Dave Feldman because he'd been working with Stream Analytics. And we built this thing. And if you go back and watch the very first future of SharePoint event, the three of us are sitting in the front row watching the dashboard. You see us just giggling in the front row of this event because we were watching the analytics of Twitter while Jeff Tepper was on stage and doing all of this cool stuff. We were watching all of the tweets that were coming in going on. And afterwards, we were talking with Mike Holstie, who at that point was managing the SharePoint Twitter handle. And Hootsuite had crashed. There was too much data for them to actually be able to see anything. We had all of the data. We had a Twitter dashboard in Power BI that eventually made it onto Satya Nadella's desk. And so that was kind of cool. That one changed a lot of things because after that point, we were told that Satya started really looking more at Power BI. So thought that was kind of neat.
True story.
That's very cool.
For the record, I've had two questions and Brett and Stephanie both stomped all over them. So I'm just listening. I'm just going to be the eye candy today.
It's great on an audio podcast, Mark. I think that's terrific.
Did you forget you forgot your questions, did you?
No, I didn't.
I think he's just wondering what those two tweets about his conference will look like in Power BI.
There actually is a Twitter dashboard every year, for North American Collaboration Summit. So it's still out there. We had a lot of tweets this year, I think.
There'll be a few more about Brett today.
banned from NACS. Got it. Okay.
That's superb. So how does Tigraph fit into the whole scheme of things? What do they bring to Power BI?
Well, that is John's company. So Tigraph does analytics for a lot of the Microsoft Office 365 suite, SharePoint. They do some Exchange stuff. They've had a Yammer product for a really long time. That's terrific. A lot of the really big Yammer customers leverage that product. And if I'm not mistaken, they've got one coming out for Teams here really soon. They are built on top of Power BI. So all of the analytics that they show you for all of the different stuff, if you're trying to get to see really what's going on in your SharePoint environment and want to get to see what people actually saw, they get to those analytical pieces of data where a lot of others are showing you what page views look like, not what somebody actually saw. Because a page view, when you do the 200 and you get something back, just it may not actually have been seen by the person. They may have closed the browser, right? So Tigraph actually gets to a lot of that data. They do a lot of engagement data as well to see what's being leveraged, what's not. Yammer especially, they've got a lot of great community data around all of that stuff. But so John could definitely talk to you more about what they're doing. The thing I can tell you is that they're built directly on top. All their stuff is done through Power BI. And they were one of the first ones to leverage the new app template model, where they're actually able to show you when you go into AppSource, if you were to go in and want to take a look at Tigraph, you don't have to become a customer to be able to actually see what's going on with their app. There's an opportunity in the new app model that you can the vendor is able to put in dummy data for all intents and purposes. And they were one of the first ones out there with that. So definitely something worth checking out. If you're wondering what the app model looks like in Power BI, go check out one of the tyGraph. I think they have 4 or 5 different apps in AppSource now for Power BI.
Yeah, I think they've got tyGraph Pulse. They've got tyGraph for Yammer, for SharePoint, for OneDrive, and maybe one other product as well.
Teams is coming.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's out there yet, but I know it's around the corner. They've announced that one. So
yep. You know, Rob, I didn't even see you Google that.
No, I did not Google it, actually. I know a lot about this product for reasons I cannot disclose.
So if people really just wanted to get started today doing things in Power BI, like what's some low-hanging fruit that most people can take advantage of today to do some cool things in Power BI?
Are you asking about training opportunities, or are you looking for things that they can just go off and start doing right away?
I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of kind of this. I think this. I had the same.
I'm not interviewing you, Rob. I'm interviewing Jason.
I know he asked a question.
This might be my favorite part of the entire show.
How do you stop people from being overwhelmed with it, right? And I think that kind of hits on your training thing there. Yeah, an example of that, I was showing somebody some Power BI reports and based on some Yammer data, right? So we're downloading if you do a Yammer extract, you get all the messages, you get all the groups and things, you know, users, things like that. In the Yammer extract, I wanted to do some kind of analysis over the top of that. And I was showing somebody, hey, if you take this messages file, here's how you can kind of see what's going on in Yammer. And I think they understood the spreadsheet. It comes down into CSV. They could look at the data and go, yeah, I understand that. But then I cracked open Power BI and started quickly generating some dashboards, and I felt they got overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why. It was very intuitive to me, but do you see that a lot, right? And how do you – because I want Power BI to take off, because I really believe there's some just amazing value that you can have when you start visualizing this data, right? Any data. So how do you ease people into this, right? Is there a class? Is there something they should read, or do you just turn them loose and let them just figure it out?
Or maybe a workshop in Branson next April.
Well, that is definitely a thing. So John and I do workshops at SharePoint Fest. We do it at European Collaboration Summit and North American Collaboration Summit as well. So you can find us at those things. That's where we do it. We've got a podcast. We try and make it more accessible, but honestly, there's a couple of guys who work for Microsoft. Their names are Patrick LeBlanc and Adam Saxton. They're known as Guy in a Cube on YouTube. They do a great job. They put out anywhere from 2 to 4 videos per week. They are small chunk. Like, they put in a ton of work on this stuff. They're small chunk, anywhere from 2 to 6 or 8 minutes of quick demo of different things. And they've got just hundreds of videos out there at this point. They don't even number them anymore. It's just what they do. They have a class, an in-person class that's coming up in Atlanta, as well as they have an online class that they just launched this week. So we can give you, I believe that if you go to buy it, Bifocal 10, if you go Bifocal 10, gets you 10% off of their course. That's another way. There's also, if you go out to Power BI and you open up Power BI Desktop, there is, if you go out and open up Power BI Desktop, under the Help tab up at the top on the right, there's a set of options around education. And I forget the exact language around it, but in there's some guided learning paths that are really fantastic as well. Now, you need to log into Power BI. Again, you can use the Power BI free version in order to get it, but that's the way you get to the guided learning version. If you just go out to the blog, blog.powerbi.com, there's a learning section on there. It's not guided learning, but there is a whole section around Power BI Desktop, the Power BI service. Those are great ways to go off and learn, as well as, if I'm not mistaken, there are some free trainings that travel around the country. There's the Power Platform World Tour that's going on internationally, but there's also a bunch of what they call Dashboard in a Day things that are going on as well. So there's lots of opportunities for that. There's user groups in so many cities at this point, and Power BI is from a user group perspective, because Power BI is 3 years old is what they claim, but it's really older because that was when they sort of restarted everything. The Power BI user groups are a great way to find more people who are doing these types of things. And the Power BI user group is what I think the golden age of user groups were. We've dropped the S off of user groups. It used to be users groups, right? Back when we started doing users groups, it was people would come with their laptop. You may have a presenter, but it was people coming together, showing people what they've figured out. And it wasn't big and scary. It wasn't 400 level deep sessions. It was people coming and asking questions and sitting around the table and having pizza and talking about the thing that they had just figured out or didn't know what the heck to do with, and asking other people questions. And that's really what a lot of the Power BI user groups are these days, is you find them in different cities. San Antonio has one. I wish it was in town more often to be able to go, but they do it at lunchtime. So really good stuff. That's my take on good ways to go. How do you make it so that it's less scary? Well, honestly, showing someone something that's already built, that's the first way. Because if you crack it open, you start dragging and dropping, and even though it's draggy, droppy, clicky, clicky, all of that fun stuff that they talk about, it is intuitive. It is pretty simple for an analytically minded person. For somebody who wants to see pretty graphs and charts and just be able to click on a slicer that makes it change, you have to show them something that's already built. You have to say, here, let me show you something. And we do this a lot. Rob, you'll be proud of this one. I actually do an OTF demo. I think you may have seen the dashboard. I built an Orange Theory Fitness demo based upon my Orange Theory data and Jill's Orange Theory data. And I use that and I show people, like, look, this is what it is. By the way, all of this comes from an email. Let me show you how I did it. And I've got a Microsoft form that injects it into a SharePoint list, and I do a refresh against that and I get my data. But I show them how it gets built at that point. But I start by showing them the pretty graphs and charts, because otherwise it is kind of intimidating for people when it's like, here's a blank canvas.
Yeah, so I did something very similar with my Orange Theory data as well, only for the last 2 months or whatever. And, typed in the data and sent
nerds.
It out.
Nerds!
Yeah, I sent it out to our studio and people
were blown away. Yeah, but we can squat you, so, you know.
I think I saw on Rob's, though, when he posts his charts, it's got like Sharpies on it.
Yeah, it does sometimes. But no, but it's just so that kind of stuff just blows people away, right? Well, I mean, so when you see that.
What skills do you need then? Do I need to be a developer to start doing Power BI? What, like, who?
No, because if you had to be a developer, you know for a fact I wouldn't be doing it. So to get started with it, I mean, it can be as simple as going against an Excel workbook, right? So being able to connect up to an Excel workbook from Power BI Desktop, if you have Excel skills, you're already off to a great start. That's a good way to get things started, is having a decent set of Excel chops. If you've ever connected up to any form of data source in Excel, you already are, you know, a good quarter of the way there, to getting started with Power BI.
So we use, at the moment, we use Dynamics CRM. We're actually moving away from it, but a couple of years ago, it took me 5 minutes to basically go and use one of their connectors, and immediately I had all sorts of really cool information about Dynamics CRM. We could see the industries that we're selling to. We could see salesperson activity, all sorts of things, and we didn't have to do a damn thing. It was just there straight away. And of course, you could tweak it, but also, you know, through the web parts and everything, you could make that available in SharePoint, so everybody could see it there, and it was right there on the sales team site.
Yeah, it's so I do something similar. We don't use Dynamics CRM at Rackspace. We use one of the competitors. Now it might rhyme with Salesforce.
Salesforce be with you.
Whatever. So we use Salesforce, and the nice thing is that from Power BI, Salesforce, at least as of this recording right now, and I don't know when Rob, you're actually going to drop the episode, but as of this moment right now, because Salesforce did just buy Tableau, so they may choose to shut it down. Salesforce has an open API that I use to go against Salesforce reports from Power BI. So it's, you know, that's how I get Salesforce data, because the native Salesforce reports, part of the reason why they bought Tableau is because native Salesforce reports are terrible. It's really awful. So I have my salespeople go in, cast a wide net for Salesforce reports. And then we go against the API, we get the Salesforce report, pull into Power BI, and then we can do with it whatever we want. We can refresh it on a scheduled basis. And then we show it in Teams. We show it off in the SharePoint site. It makes life a lot easier. But the pre-baked connectors are definitely a thing that makes life a lot easier. You can be a developer and go off and write all of those things. Ted Pattison teaches a lot of great stuff around Power BI development. He's got some classes about that. If you're looking to get started with Power BI development, that's really nice. But there are a lot of great, there's an open source, it's a JavaScript D3 is what it's written in. All of the visuals for Power BI are all JavaScript D3. So if you wanted to write your own, you can do that. But there's 29 out of the box. And then there's a whole catalog of other visuals that you can go off and get, including the fish tank visual if you really like useless visuals.
I mean, I've created one Power BI report in my life. And
see, developers don't need to even, you don't have to be a developer to be able to do it.
Hey, you're number one there, Jason. But what I did though is we had a client that had like thousands and thousands of well files, and these are files, documents for their different oil pads. And the documents, we had them stored in a SharePoint document library, and one of the fields for the metadata was the latitude and longitude location of the well. So using one of the pre-made reports that are there in Power BI, it literally took me, after never having written a Power BI report before and one email to John, within 10 minutes, I had a map that showed a dot for where all the wells were. And then you could click on that dot and see all the documents associated with that well pad. And then you could even filter by different categories, click on the file and open it up. So it was really cool.
Yeah, there's some really neat stuff that you can do. That, you know, that the SharePoint folder connector is one that's really nice, because again, you have those XML files that come in, or you know, whatever the files are that you stick in a document library. Being able to have those things get continuously added, that SharePoint folder connector will continue to add them in, which is really nice as well when you do that refresh. So very cool stuff. Again, the Power BI is just a ton of fun. It's a growing area. Microsoft has not published the numbers, but it is one of the fastest growing, having talked to the GM, fastest growing area. And it's just really impressive stuff that they're doing.
Fantastic. So where are you next speaking about Power BI?
Probably at the dinner table to my kids is my guess. The next time I'm talking about Power BI is actually, there's a user group on the 16th that the Dallas-Fort Worth virtual user group, but I don't know when you're dropping this. So, you know, the next time after that, golly, I think it might be Ignite. John and I have a couple of sessions at Ignite that we're doing. We actually got a 45-minute session about best practices for Power BI and paginated reports in the Power BI service. So that one we're That's really awfully specific. Excited about.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's some really cool stuff. It's functionality that just came back to the platform. Chris Finland, who's been a regular guest on our show, is a product manager for it. They've been working on it for a really long time, and they now have it in the Power BI service. It's only available in premium at this point, in the premium SKUs, but it's stuff that my customers have been clamoring for, being able to get off of having to run SQL Server on-prem or in an IaaS environment in order to get paginated reports, that printable report that can be delivered to your email by email in your inbox, and be able to get to that stuff. It's a game changer for a lot of companies looking to get off of the older SQL platform. It was the biggest thing that people were missing, you know, from the SharePoint side of the world. When we lost the integrated mode reporting services web part, So now we have something that we can actually do that with, and it's all in the service. We don't have to have it on-prem anymore. So we're very excited about that. We're also doing an unconference around Power BI, which is more, if I'm not mistaken, and we're going to find out more about what unconferences are. I think Anna Chu was on your show and probably talked a little bit about that. This was a brainchild of hers to bring unconferences to the table, similar to a meetup. A lot of people coming together. We're going to have a couple of agenda points, but more free-form conversation. And generally, we get a couple of the product team members to come join us for that. We're doing the podcast. I'm doing a PowerShell session. And I think that's – oh, and we're doing one about how to start a podcast.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Maybe we should go to that one.
We should definitely listen to that.
Hey, so I saw another requirement too. I think some of us are going to be working in the community center, like the expo hall area. There was some kind of extra thing on that. Is there Power BI hands-on opportunities in the expo hall?
I would imagine there probably are. I think I'm probably behind on the community emails. I might not have seen that one, but generally, there are. I know there's a lot of product team members that are going to be coming. They're going to be staffing the pavilion. You can always just stop John in the halls. He's the really tall Canadian-looking guy. And just say, hey, can I get you to show me Power BI? And it's pretty amazing. It's like a holster. He just whips out the laptop and just shows it to you right in front. It's pretty cool. But I would imagine there probably are opportunities there. This is definitely a Mark, you didn't have to do that. That's just disturbing. You guys are going to have to trim some of this on this podcast.
Sorry, Rob, that's started it.
You can pick the conversation back up.
I'm scarred still. I don't know. I managed not to see that damn thing for like a year at this point. So, you know.
For our listeners who are wondering what the heck is going on, Rob's foot has made an appearance in our show. So,
right behind Mark's head, which is, I'm not sure which is more disturbing at this point.
Mark has become the blister. I don't know.
So I can tell you that one of the things that John and I are working on for Ignite is we're working on a Power BI happy hour. We did one at the Business Application Summit that we had a bunch of people show up for. So if you follow us on Twitter, you will find out more about that. Follow the show on Twitter. The Guy in the Cube folks, Treb from Marquee Insights, John and I are working on putting something together for that. So hopefully we'll find people out there as well. And on the expo hall floor, I imagine that in the community center, there is an opportunity to find some interactive Power BI folks. I'm sure we'll be hanging out there whenever we're not speaking.
Very cool.
Sounds good. Well, I think we're all going to be there at Ignite. So it would definitely be good to catch up with you.
Oh, yes. I think there might be a pint or two in our future and a whiskey on top.
I am very, very sure. Spoken like a very British guy there.
I now know that I have to check a suitcase in order to bring my whiskey with me. So that's definitely going to be happening. So,
and how's that whiskey cabinet doing? So I think you had a bit of pressure from your wife to reduce the amount of space that it was taking up. Am I right in saying that?
She lost that battle. I said, that's fine. I can drink it. And
I was benefiting from that battle.
There's definitely it continues to grow. It's actually moved to a second shelf at this point. I think that it's a little too early to announce, but SharePoint Saturday is coming back to San Antonio in 2020. We met with a venue yesterday. So when that happens, we tend to do a little barbecue here for the speakers afterwards. So if you're in the States at that point in time, you can come take some partake in the whiskey cabinet. So
that sounds like a very special treat.
Very cool.
The first time I went to a SharePoint Saturday in Texas was my first time to Texas. And I was just had this vision of a nice big thick steak and you'd take some barbecue and everything. And they had a speaker dinner, which was at Shakespeare's British Pub.
And I don't have words for that. That must have been that had to have been in Dallas.
It was actually Houston. It was Houston.
Sounds authentic. Sounds like it might have been a joint.
Yeah, it was great to have, you know, really Boddington served in a frosted glass. That was unusual.
Nice.
Now, to be fair, you have been to Texas since then, and I have always taken you to much better places than that.
Yes, you have. Yeah. Outstanding.
Excellent. I don't know which one of you is talking next. I'm looking all around. There's like five of you on the screen.
Yeah, and no feet.
No feet. Yep.
So you guys are, what are you all doing at Ignite? Yeah. You said, Rob, you mentioned that you guys are going to be at Ignite as well. So.
Well, we're recording a podcast and that's about the extent of me speaking, but no, I think we're going to get together and record a podcast. Mark and Stephanie have got like 35 sessions they're delivering. So.
We're taking over diversity in tech this year. We got a lot going on.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Couple sessions, two, three, we have an unconference as well. So we're kind of exploring that whole idea too. And the podcast, and I don't know, was that it?
And also, yeah, I have a session on, I figured out a great title for a session. Now I need the content. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what I come up with.
I'm sure you can hire Bergen to help with some of that.
I could. He's got classes now though. So he doesn't have quite the availability he used to.
And usually when I go to a conference, I get dragged back to the booth constantly. So I go to Ignite. We don't sponsor it. I don't speak. I go to attend sessions and network.
Awesome.
So it's like Brett's treat once a year.
Yeah.
So very much looking forward to that.
It'll be fun. It's always a great show. I mean, I really enjoy the catching up with everybody, seeing the sessions, but mostly just the sidebar conversations, you know, the stuff you see in the hallway.
I'm definitely looking forward to all of that. You know, I had this conversation earlier this week with Lori Pottermeyer. I have sort of, we do the split personality thing between the SharePoint world and the Power BI world. So I get pulled in multiple directions at a show like this because everybody's there. But I'm looking forward to getting to spend a little bit of time in each of the places. The thing I'm most looking forward to this year is that the Titans are not playing the Jags that week, because that was torture last year when I had to sit there with you with the smug smile on your face while your team whooped up on mine. So that's not going to happen.
We were in a real British pub, though.
We absolutely were in Florida. Yeah, that was a thing.
That pub was acceptable, unlike Shakespeare's. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, Jason, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. We love the always catching up, and the topic was fantastic. But thank you. And do you have anything you want to leave us with before we shut us off?
No. So I do have one small story I want to say. I want to tell you. I was listening to the show because I am a listener to your show, and my podcast software every once in a while does something funky. And so I finished listening to my sports podcast, and it flipped over to you guys. And, you know, I was just getting ready for the day. I'm listening to the podcast and listening. I'm going, okay, hang on. Michael didn't break his arm again, did he? It jumped back a full year. Literally, it went back 1 year to you guys having very similar conversations about the start of school and football season. And I texted Mark. I was like, what the hell happened? And I looked at the pod, 2018. Somehow it had, like, even though I'd listened to that episode, it went all the way back. And that apparently that was the first one that I had in queue. So that was just an amusing thing.
So good. They're worth listening to again.
They are. Yes.
So definitely I appreciate the opportunity. I do appreciate the opportunity to come on the show with you guys. It's been a blast. Can't wait to see you at Ignite. And some of you I may even see sooner than that. So, you know, look forward to that as well.
Thanks, Jason. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you, Jason.
And Rob's on mute, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering.
I was just getting ready to close us out. So if anybody has any questions or comments, please shoot us an email at info@techsplaining.net, and we will answer your questions on the show. But until then, everybody, thank you so much, and we will talk again soon.
Ciao.
Thank you.